Ladies, it's that time of year again. It's the Women's Conference, and we're so excited. Life Under the Rainbow. My new book, Life Under the Rainbow, is coming out at the Women's Conference. I'm so excited about that, too. And the guest speakers we have, oh,
yes, so good. Our girl, Jenny Donnelly, is coming from Portland. We have Paige Henderson of Quest, you guys, and we have our beautiful Bridget.
You're going to be able to get to talk to her and meet her. And Paige, and also Jenny. It's just, wow, what a lineup.
And guys, we have childcare for $20 for the whole entire weekend. Are you kidding me? Yeah. And we have a lunch on Saturday. So there's just so much to look forward to. All of it goes towards Spark. You're going to be changing the world with every ticket. So grab your ticket today.
Yeah.
Do not hesitate and get in the seat to watch your life be transformed.
That's right. So go to our website, register today. We'll see you then.
Hello, friends. Welcome to a very special episode of The Pulse. I am so glad that you have joined us. I'm Shea Wilbur, media director for all things here, Open Door Church, and of this house. And you're going to hear a lot more of the many things that this house is doing on today's very special show. We have the mother of the house, Dr. Pastor Leanna Brewer, who is here joining us for today's episode of The Pulse. And listen, she just got back from a whirlwind trip to Asia. We've got pictures. We've got testimonies. She's going to recap her trip. But also, friends, we have the former Miss Uganda UK, Bridget herself. You have heard her story if you are part of our family. She is a miracle. Her life is a testimony. She's here. She actually came here for the women's conference that is this week, but we have her in-house right now. I literally have chills. I'm so excited for you all to meet her. It's going to be a really, really special show. And before we get into it, I just want to make a couple really quick announcements because I know once we start talking, bringing the crew, it's just going to go and we're going to have so much fun. Tonight, I want to let everyone know our service that is this evening at Open Door Church, Pastor Leanna is going to be speaking and bringing a word from her trip. It's going to be awesome. And I can't wait to see what the Lord has put on her heart. And listen, we are, you know, the day before the women's conference as well. So she's going to have a lot to talk about with that. And breaking news, she will also be signing her brand new book, Life Under the Rainbow. Thank you for that round of applause, everyone. We are so excited. It wasn't going to be released until the women's conference, but if you come to Open Door Church tonight, you are going to be able to get a copy, have Pastor Leanna sign it, and how special is that? So, so exciting. So as you can see, I'm sitting in Pastor Troy's seat. That is because he's not here. He's actually at Redemption Ranch right now. He's been there on a dove hunt. Pastor, if you're watching, we love you. We miss you. And I don't know, he just might be popping in on the show today. So stay tuned. I was looking to see if I see him in the chat yet. I don't see him, but I have a feeling he's going to join us at any moment, especially because he heard that Bridget is here. So I know he wants to say hi to Bridget, and I know he always wants to check out his lovely wife, as he says, Pastor, I mean, you hear it all the time. You know, he always makes the joke, all she wants to do is kiss me. And you're never there to say, is this true or not?
Can we get confirmation? Get I-team investigation on that.
Yes, we do. We totally do. But anyway, we've got a great show for you. We've got so much happening in the house. So let's just welcome, first of all, Pastor Leanna. It's so good to have you.
Well, thank you. It is so good to be here today. I'm so excited.
It's such a special
treat. So excited. And if I spent my whole time defending myself over all the things that he said, we would get to nothing else.
Literally, we need to have a segment that set the record straight. Do you watch Netflix and drink wine in the hot tub every Wednesday night?
I don't have a hot tub, and no, I do not. No.
Okay. Do you have a Netflix subscription?
No, I don't. Yeah, the kids do, so sometimes I'll watch stuff with them, but it's usually a kid cartoon.
Yeah,
so.
See? Yeah. We're setting the record straight today. Yes. This is our opportunity. Yes.
And I don't drink wine on Wednesday nights either, so there you go.
Oh, man. You're probably hanging with your grandkids if you're not at church.
Yes. If they are there, I am. If not, I am actually watching church. I just don't drive well at night. So yeah. I try to stay home.
Well, yeah. I'm glad that we finally clear the air on that.
Yeah.
We need to clip it and post it on and just play it in service anytime Pastor Troy says where you are. Just, you know, newsflash, family. Pastor Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good. I'm excited. I think today's going to be a great show. I'm excited to hear Dr. Brewer tonight. As well as got the women's conference all weekend, although
you're not a woman, but you'll still be able to benefit from it. I will be here for it.
I'm just not a girl.
Do you have a pink shirt that you'll be wearing?
Oh,
does Gina have a pink shirt for you?
Probably.
I need to text her and be like, Gina.
There are pink shirts in my dresser.
Okay, well, we expect you to break the pink. If you can be free wearing pink, it is this weekend.
All right.
We won't judge you. This is a safe space.
I'm behind the scenes, behind the camera anyway. Yeah. So,
you can wear any color you want other than black. Black's really not a,
You're not allowed to wear black. Yes. I love
What about dark gray?
No neutrals. How about that? It has to be a color.
All right, there we go.
Okay, there you go.
Well, I know that we've just started. Have people commented where they're watching from yet?
Yeah, I just want to give a shout out to everybody that's watching. If you let us know where you're watching from, you never know when a share will work, or also just typing where you are also helps our algorithm out. So let us know where you're watching from. I want to give a couple shout outs to Angela in Colorado. We got Robin in Mesa, Arizona, and we have Monica in Flagstaff, Arizona.
Yes.
All watching. So thank you guys so much for letting us know that you're watching and where you're watching from today.
Yes, it's so good. I love that we do have an international group, and I'm sure we're going to start seeing them on here. Usually like the first couple of minutes, people are still joining, but it's just so cool that this is such an international ministry, as you guys are going to hear today, because we literally have a guest here from Uganda. So that is really, really exciting. And I think let's start. I'm trying to think. There's so many things I want to talk about. Let's start with you, Pastor Leanna. You know, you just got back from this whirlwind trip all over Asia. How many cities did you visit?
I went to 8 different countries.
Countries. That's what I meant.
Yes.
Yeah. Countries.
Yes.
Wow. In a matter of like a couple weeks.
I was gone for 27 days.
Oh my goodness. And Troy was very sad the whole time.
Yes.
Pastor Troy.
Yes.
We were constantly having to cheer him up.
I'm sorry.
But he really good.
He did really
I was very proud of him. He was great.
Yes.
But I knew in his heart he was sad.
That's the longest we've ever been apart.
That's what he said. And you guys have been married how many years?
36 years.
36 years.
And so yeah, I've done 2 weeks, you know,
because
I go a lot, but for 4 weeks, that was stretching it for him.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, I mean, you are very busy. We always are hearing how busy Pastor Troy is, which he is. And you are just as busy you have Spark Worldwide, that is a sister organization to TBM and to all things of this house, obviously, because it is something that you started serving, protecting, and raising kids. And I want to encourage people, you're going to hear us talk a lot about different missions that we do all across the globe. And when you sow into this ministry, whether that's at odx.tv, that's on your screen right now, or troybrewer.com, this is part of what you're sowing into. This is Spark is one of our sister organizations. And so I just want to let you know, if you feel the Lord tugging at your heart at all during this broadcast and you want to get involved, please do so and go to our website, troybrewer.com, odx.tv, or call that number on your screen, 877-413-0888, to be a part of what we are doing in the nations, being the hands and feet of Jesus. So Pastor Leanna, okay, you just got back from this crazy trip, and I know you're also in the Mindset of Women's Conference, but when you think about the many things that the Lord did on this trip to Asia, where do you start?
Wow, I have so many takeaways, because every country was different. Which is beautiful. I love that. I love that the body of Christ is so diverse, and being able to see that. You know, typically I'm on the other side of the world. I am definitely usually over on the African side of the world.
Yeah.
And so doing my tour of Asia, I've been there a few times, but it's been years since I've been to India. So I got to go there. But mainly the trip was surrounded around Indonesia. This was an act of obedience that the Lord, over 20 years ago, 25 years ago, you know, Spark is 26 years old this year. And so it's been about 25 years ago, the Lord told me, you're going to go to Indonesia, but he didn't say when. And so this last year, he told me, now it's time to go. And I was like, wow, okay. So everything else just kind of fell into place as I said yes to Indonesia. So the main thing was there, being prepared to speak to every person, from the youngest of the youngest to homeless people with mental disabilities, people that are extremely educated, and then people that were just in ministry, people that were teenagers that are in public school, that they brought them all to this venue and had never heard the gospel before. So it was every different age group of people, every different background of people, and being able just to really show the Lord's heart to them specifically and personally was big.
That's awesome. I know you visited a school in Indonesia, right?
I did.
I think we have some pictures of that. So talk to me about the work that you did at the school. Because all I saw, well, I guess it was a school field trip, right?
It was a field trip.
Tons of kids.
Correct. So what they did is the partner that we're working with there has access to be able to get into the schools, but you can't go in and preach in the schools. So what they did is they had a field trip of sorts, and they brought all of these kids to a venue. There was 800 senior high school students from public schools that came together, and what we did a big outreach where we fed them lunch, and then we sent them home with groceries. They all got Bibles. Incredible things. But there was a concert. We did a concert for them, which I did not sing because nobody wants to hear that. Outside, you can't see, but outside there was probably 100 more kids that did not fit in there.
Wow.
And so we fed them all a lunch, which is what you're seeing. And then we sent them home with groceries to take home to their families. But the most important thing we sent them home was Jesus. We absolutely got to. I asked the Lord because I didn't know what I was doing until just briefly before I went to go do something because everything was so quick. And I said, Lord, what do you want me to speak to these kids? Because I had just been speaking to pastors, you know, and before that I was speaking at a homeless event. And so I said, Lord, what do you want for these kids? And he said, I want you to preach about salvation. I want you to demonstrate my heart to these kids and tell them the whole gospel of salvation. And I did. And I am telling you, it was earth shattering. How many of those kids just got saved? I mean, these kids mostly come from Muslim backgrounds. So for them to accept the gospel was huge. And it was so impactful.
That was probably the first time that many of them heard the gospel.
First time. Yeah, it was. It was huge. But the breakthrough was so obvious and so evident. I mean, these kids were weeping and they were holding each other and they were just, the Holy Spirit fell like in a way I have not experienced since I was a kid. Just a genuine love they had and just a receptiveness they had without any pretense to what the gospel is. They really got it. So it was beautiful.
And so you went from, I don't know the sequence of what you did there, but I know you also ministered to pastors in Indonesia.
I sure did. Yeah. So we left, I don't know if it was before that or after that. I can't remember because we did so many things in so many countries, but it was all on the same day.
I'm glad you remember because it's hard to keep it straight when you do so many things.
I mean, I had a list in front of me and I still couldn't keep up with what I was doing, but we did. We went and spoke to 250 pastors.
Wow. Amazing.
From around the nation. And it was amazing. Incredible. We were able, again, to feed them and send food home with them and do an outreach, but really just to be able to pour into them. And what I find here at home and all around the world is pastors feel so alone. Yeah. They feel so isolated and they feel like, they're kicking against the pricks. You know, they're just like, okay, we've been doing this and it's not working. And they're not seeing the fruit that we can see from the outside because they're in the midst of it and they're in the midst of the battle. So to be able to come in and encourage them and say, this is what I see when I come in as a complete stranger to what the Lord is doing, and just encourage them in that. And then also they did a question and answer. And so I got to answer some questions that I thought, where's Troy?
Yeah. I know. It's always hard when they...
It is. Like, you need the other brewer for all these things. Yeah, I did it though. I mean, the Lord did it. I definitely depended on the Lord, but it would have been much easier. The rest of them, easy breezy, but that one I was like, okay, some of your questions, and they weren't theological questions, or I could have answered those ones.
Yeah.
They were like, what do we do in this case? And one man got up and he said, so what do we do in the case of what's happening is the Muslim young men are impregnating our girls, and then our girls are turning into Muslims.
Whoa.
And we're losing all of our Christians, all of our teenagers, because these girls are all getting pregnant and they have to become Muslim. If it's a Muslim boy, what do we do? And so I had to sit there and Troy's really quick. And I had to actually think about it. I was like, okay, Lord, what did I do? I don't remember. I just prayed and asked the Lord, what did they do? Because I don't know. Anyways, the Lord gave me a good word and I gave it to him. And, really, it was about empowering the girls and giving them identity in these Christian homes and in our churches, and not looking at them as second citizen.
Yeah.
Because what happens a lot is in everywhere, but in other countries, you know, in second and third world countries, women are not appreciated. And so I just told them, I said, you know, what's happening is the Muslim boys are lying to these girls and feeding them something that they're needing.
Wow.
That you're not providing, and they're buying it. And of course it's a lie, and they find out when it's too late. But if we fill that need that they have in their homes, and if dads will rise up and solidify their girls and they don't have to look somewhere else to have that, then they're not going to be looking. And so it was a general kind of answer like that, which was hard as a girl coming in and telling, you know, a foreign girl coming in and telling you, you need to take care of your girls better. You know, I felt, but I was like, Lord, you sent me here. You had this question, so I'm going to answer it.
Yeah, that's wisdom though.
And, but it was, it was really good. They received it really well. And then I had all sorts of other kinds of crazy questions that I was like, okay,
you're like, help me, Lord.
Yes. I'm going to give you my mom answer to everything. Well, cause I'm just, I'm a mom. So I'm going to give you the mom answer. Mm-hmm. So
do you have any, you say you know, you have all those mom moments. Was there any that stuck out in particular with some of the kids at the school?
Yes. There was one young man, he was sitting towards the front and, I don't remember, I think it was during the time that I had just preached the gospel to them, and which was just the gospel of salvation, that Jesus is the Son of God. I mean, I just, it was beautiful. And there was this young man sitting on the front, and I'd asked all of them, I said, does anybody in here want to get saved? And he obviously was the most popular of all the boys because all the girls wanted to sit by him. You know, you can just tell which one is the jock one, and, and he was that one. And he got up and he stood up and he just started bawling, like, I mean, hysterically bawling. And I was like, wow. And then he asked the teacher, he said, can I come up there and can she pray for me? And I said, yes, absolutely. And I came, and he just hugged me and cried and cried and cried. And he told me, I'm never going to forget this moment in my life. I'm never going to forget it. And it took us forever because both of us were crying at that time. And I was like, this, that little boy is going to change the world.
Were they open to the gospel? I'm curious.
Absolutely, they were. It was, that was one of the things that I found out going to, because I did go to a lot of Muslim nations, and a lot of times it's not as receptive, but I'm telling you, it was more receptive there than it is here in the States.
Wow.
I got there, and the field is 100% ready to be harvested.
Amen.
You could go out there and just say Jesus and people get saved. It is, I have never seen anything like it. I am definitely going to lead a missions trip. That since I've been there, they've done more. They have a stadium that they had 2,500 kids. They only had the 800 because I'd only given them a short time to get things together. Mm-hmm. And they were like, please come back. You know,
imagine if we went in with like kids ministry, like what Pastor Candace does every week.
That would just, and that's what I told them. I said, you know, I can bring a kids ministry, I can bring a youth ministry, and I can bring a pastor's. They're like, if you can bring it, we can provide.
That's amazing.
And so we're going to set that up because I'm telling you, I have never seen a nation more hungry for the gospel than I saw there, and so receptive. I mean, they're ready, and it was really beautiful. And the pastors were ready. They were very humble and truly seeking what does the Lord have for us? How can we, they understood they were in a place where they were stuck.
Yeah.
And I saw that a lot as I traveled with pastors, of my age and older of, you know, you get to that point where you can change and be relevant, or you can be retired. and it was that place, you know, you have to make that decision. Are you willing to be led by the Holy Spirit, or are you going to be stuck in your traditions? If you're stuck in your traditions, you're no longer relevant. And so I saw that with the pastors. They were so hungry for change. They were like, no, we're willing to do whatever it takes. We are in this to see the gospel come to our nation. So that's, it was so amazing.
Cool. That is so cool.
Wow. Yeah. I know you visited a place that's called Homeless Church. Now, was that in Indonesia?
It was in Indonesia.
Okay. And so why do they call it that?
There was three of them that we went to, and it was, they reached out to the homeless.
Wow.
And so it's churches that open up on Saturday, and they both had two services each.
Wow.
And they feed them, they bring them into the church, and they feed them a meal, which was really cool because when we first started the food bank, that's how we did it. We did it on Saturdays. They would come into the church, we would do free haircuts, we would feed them, and then they would go through the line and get their food. Mm-hmm. Well, they did the same thing here. And that's how they were doing their church was Saturday, as they were bringing everybody in, feeding them, and then preaching the gospel, and then giving them food as they left.
Wow.
And so it was amazing.
And there was a little boy there, a ukulele boy. I want to know the story because I just saw the picture.
Oh, my goodness.
This boy is so cute.
Oh, yeah. Alan.
Look at that.
His
little
name is Alan.
Alan. Oh, my gosh.
This
that's adorable.
Is such a Jesus story. So,
wow.
2 days before I went on my tour of Asia, I went to Mexico to see Troy because he was in Mexico and I was about to leave, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to surprise him. So I went to Mexico, and you can't go, well, you can't go, I can't go anywhere without going to a market. I'm sorry. I love markets. And so I had went into the market with Swanamede to look for something. I don't even remember what we were looking for. And as she was looking for something, the booth across from her was this older gentleman that was hand-making guitars. It was so incredible. His wow. guitars were beautiful. Basses, guitars, ukuleles, all sorts of stuff. But he was doing it by hand, and he was teaching his grandson, which That's was cool. in his 20s, to do the trade. And I was just sitting there watching it going, that is amazing. I was thinking, Troy would love these guitars. And so I was actually looking at one and got to talking to the gentleman, and he said, are you an ambassador? And I said, No,
the Lord.
No, yeah. I never know how to answer that. And I was like, I'm not sure what you're asking me, but no. And so Swanamy came over and he said, is she famous? Is she an ambassador? And Swanamy, yes.
Of course, yes.
Swanamy. I'm like, no, I'm really not. And so I said, no, I want to buy this guitar. He had a bass guitar and I bought it for Ben. And so he just asked Swanamy, he said, what does she do? Who is she? And so Swanamy starts telling him who I am. And she said, John, next week she's going to Asia. And he said, what are you going to do there? And so I told him, you know, what Spark does. And he said, well, I want to give you this ukulele. I want you to take it to a child. You give it to any child and just send me back the video. And I said, okay. And this man was a Christian man. He had scriptures everywhere. He was beautiful. We prayed over the ukulele. And I said, I'm going to pray specifically that the Lord tells me. I took that silly thing to four nations before I got
that's what I'm thinking. I'm like, that's not an easy thing to pack in your suitcase.
No, it's not. I was like, this thing makes it unbroken. But it's going to be Jesus.
Yeah.
So I kept asking the Lord. I had it with me everywhere I went. I took it everywhere. And I said, Lord, show me which little boy or little girl I'm going to give this to. So we pull up to this church that they were having homeless service that day. And right next door, and it was in my bag, and right next door in the same shopping center, and it was in a hanky place. We were not in a good area. We were in a hanky area. And and the sign next to it, and it had bars all over everything, but it said music lessons, and it had a guitar next to it. And I went, okay.
Okay.
So I told my team, I told Daryl and Lisa, I was like, hold the ukulele, because I really think this is going to be the place.
Wow.
So I go in, and there's all of these kids on the one side. But and the people that you can see on the back are all the workers that are passing out food and doing the ministry and stuff. But what I'm looking at, the congregation, are all homeless people that are mentally challenged. Wow. Mm-hmm. And so I have mentally challenged people with a few just regular homeless people and all of these children. And I'm like, Lord, how do you preach to this diverse group? What is it you would like for me to preach? And how would you like for me to preach it? Because it's easy for me to preach to kids, but I don't want to talk to people down.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, totally.
And I'm like, well, what do I do? And the Lord said, I want you to talk about covenant, which is what my new book is about.
Covenant. Life Under the Rainbow.
It's about all the covenants in the Bible. Anyway, the Lord told me, I want you to talk about covenant. And I want you to talk about Noah's Ark. He said, just lay it out there. And he said, that little boy right there. And so he pointed out Alan, and didn't know his name at the time. And he said, go to that little boy and tell me you want to make a covenant with him. And I said, okay. So I said, Alan, I asked him what his name was. He said, Alan, which is Troy's middle name. And I was like, of course it is. In Indonesia, your name's Alan. So weird. But anyways, I said, do you know what a covenant is? And he said, no. I said, a covenant is a promise. And God makes promises to us all through the Bible. And I said, I'm going to make a promise to you. Do you like promises? And he just kind of looked at me. I said, I promise you, if you'll stay through this whole service and listen to me, at the end of it, I'm going to give you something really special. And he just kind of smiled. And I said, how about I give everybody in here something special? And he was like, okay. And I said, but you're going to get the extra special thing if you stay. And they already knew they were going to get lunch, and they already knew they're going to get food to take home. But Daryl is the ice cream king of the capital. Yeah. So we had already sent somebody else to get ice cream for everybody in there. And so he said, okay. So I taught on Noah, and I taught on the covenant, and I taught on God's promises and all of those things. And at the end, we were about to stop, and he just watched me the whole time. And I said, are you wondering what my promises to you, what my covenant I've made to you is? Mm-hmm. And he looked, and I said, Alan, have you ever wanted to play an instrument? He said, I want to play guitar really bad, but we don't have any money.
Aww.
And I said, well, look here. And so I got it. And I said, this is my covenant I made with you. My promise that I was going to give you something very special for you. And I said, this comes from Mexico, from a friend of mine. And this is for you. And I gave it to him, and he's just looking at it, and his parents are all teared up, and his little brothers are trying to take it away, and he's holding it. And the building that this church is in is actually owned by the lady who owns the music store, and she was there. I didn't know that. And I said, and we're going to pay for your first 6 months of music lessons. Wow. And so we were able to give her the money, get him 6 months of lessons, and then he got the guitar. And then I told him, okay, this is the promise to everybody else, is they all get ice cream on top. And oh, my goodness. The whole city could hear them screaming. They were so excited. So it was just really neat. So that's Alan's story.
That is awesome. Yeah. There are so many stories.
Yeah.
We'll be back with more stories in just a moment with Dr. Brewer. And don't forget, we have Bridget here, Miss Uganda, UK. We'll be back in more from them in just a minute. I want to tell you guys, thank you so much for all your support. Stories like this, like Alan, you know, Pastor Troy said a couple weeks ago, we were in the dentures ministry because somebody needed dentures.
Yeah.
When Dr. Leanna was out there, we were in the ukulele ministry and music ministry. So go ahead and call that a number on your screen, 877-413-0888. You can also go to troybrewer.com and support all the great works, including the story you're about to see next about Jeanette. Take a look.
When you meet Janet, the first thing you notice are her eyes, bright blue, filled with wonder and light. But Janet's world was silent. Born deaf, she lived in a world where she could not hear words of love or comfort. Her family, unable to afford the specialized care and education she needed, abandoned her, leaving her voiceless and unseen. But then Dorothy saw her, and Dorothy knew how to speak her language. With hands that knew the graceful beauty of sign language, Dorothy welcomed Janet into her home and into her heart. And because of you and your support through Spark, Janet is now in the best school for deaf children in Uganda, a place where her special needs are not a burden, but a celebration, where she is learning to communicate, to laugh, and to dream. Janet is no longer left behind. She is surrounded by teachers who understand her, friends who share her world, and the unwavering love of Dorothy who believes in her future. Because of you, Janet's story is one of transformation. From silence to expression, from abandonment to belonging, from hopelessness to hope, this is the power of love. This is the redemption God writes through your generosity. This is Janet's story, and it's only just beginning.
Ugh. That makes me emotional. Pastor Troy is going to make fun of me for crying. But it's hard to watch that and not feel emotional. I mean, that's one story of countless. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. we say 11,000 children that we have been able to touch their lives in one way or another throughout the past, since we've been counting, which mm-hmm. isn't even as long as you have been doing it. And what's really special is that today we have one of those used to be children. Now she's like this stunning supermodel, incredible woman of God that is here in our studio all the way from Uganda. Bridget, welcome.
Thank you so much. I am honored to be here, truly.
Well, it's so awesome to have you. We're so thankful that even you could join us today, because I know you guys are going to be busy gearing up for the women's conference. But first, how does it feel to be here in this house? It's been a long time since you've been to the States.
Absolutely. The last time I was here was 7 years ago. But I don't believe this is my first time being in the Burleson branch that we have here. The last time I was around was when we were still in Joshua, Texas. So it's been
my
a good,
goodness.
Yes, it's been a long time. And so it's incredible to just see what God has done over the years and just the expansion and the fruitfulness. Really a reward from Papa Troy and Mama Troy, Mama Leanna's diligence and faithfulness to steward the work that God has put in their hands. So I'm honored to see everything unfold.
Yeah, well, we're so honored to have you here. And, you know, we talk about how we rescue kids out of different circumstances. And that's one thing that we do. But we also partner with families who are in need. And you and your mom from when you were a young child were a family that we partnered with. We kind of took you guys in, from what I hear, but I would love to hear that from you. Yeah. And from you, Pastor Leanna, too. I would just love to hear that story from your perspective, when you know, what your first memories of getting connected with Pastor Leanna and Troy?
Yeah, absolutely. My mom was just a radical woman for God, absolutely loves God, and opened our home to serve ministers, both locally and internationally. And I believe we may have been first introduced to you all when I may have been like 10 years old.
Wow.
The first trip to the UK, my mom hosted Pastor Troy and Mom Leanna and took them around different churches. And really was the start of a divine connection. Mm. And from that point on, I would be visiting Texas and coming to stay with Papa Troy and Mama Leanna and spend summers with them. And it really was just an expansion of my world too, you know.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
You're okay.
Being born and raised to a single mother, we had our own hardships and we grew up in a deprived area in London. And so it was my first time being able to just experience a whole new world and to see kingdom being done elsewhere and just enjoy really new experiences as a child. So it was so much fun. And then I even had the opportunity to go on some of their mission trips and experience some of their food bank outreaches. And so it really also stirred my own heart to give to people and to see the generosity that God really used Pastor Troy and Mom Leanna to reach these people and to show the love of God. And so just really amazing experience as a child growing up.
Wow. Yeah. Pastor Leanna, what are you feeling listening to her tell that?
Well, it's we took her to Mexico with us before it was difficult. We took her with all of our kids, and she was only 10 or 11 years old, but she was one of our kids. And so
we're going to Mexico.
Looking back at it now, it was a really bad choice, but you know, you live and learn. She lived through it. She looks great. You know, we took her and we always took our kids on trips, but we would go into the trash dumps and we would feed people and we would do ministry. And it was incredible. But coming back across, Troy told her, "Don't talk. They're going to know that you don't belong with them."
I was like,
"What kind of advice is that?"
But
then, you know, they were like, because back then you can just do your driver's license to get back, no problem. But they asked, they were like, because all of our kids were in there and she was in there, and they're like, "Well, we need proof that these are your kids." Well, before you didn't have to do that. Kids were kids, you know, it wasn't.
Oh my goodness.
Well, we had a school annual from the kids' school and we said, "Okay, these are," and we pointed out our kids and they're like, "Yeah, yeah." And we're like, "And this is her, this is Britt." And they were like, "Oh, okay." And so we were like,
"Oh my goodness.
We'll never do that again. We shouldn't do that." You know,
that's like, when Pastor Troy tells the story, he'll say, "I don't know if it was the best idea what we did. Now I know why."
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But we got her back because God is good. Yeah. But yeah, you know, the first time we met her mom was the first time we went to the UK together, Troy and I did. And it was right after 9/11. We got diverted from going to India because of they closed it down to us as Americans. They're like, "You're not going." We already had a trip planned. It was October right after 9/11. They said, "But you can still go to the UK." Well, we didn't have any money to do anything. We weren't going to couldn't cancel our flights and stuff. So we were like, "We'll go to the UK. We don't know anybody." And Troy just called everybody, like literally called everybody in the phone book. "I'm here. I'm from Open Door. You want me to come preach? I'll come." And I was just like,
I love that.
Oh,
actually.
He called every single person. And then we got met with Hadija, her mom, and she picked us up and she took us everywhere. She took us to 5 churches in one day.
That's
We're
fantastic.
Like, this lady is amazing.
Wow.
And one of the things that she said to me on this trip, when I picked her up at her aunt's house, she said, "You know, Leanna, I didn't know the seed that I was sowing 25 years ago would have produced this."
Wow.
And I was like, "Hadija, that is like one of the coolest things I have ever heard." I was like, "You know, you sow seeds and thinking that you're doing a good deed and that you're being obedient, but you have no idea the fruit that it's going to produce." And then 25 years later, you look back and go, "Look what God did because of my yes."
Wow.
That's
And I
so
started
good.
Thinking of all the things that I've done that I'm thinking, "Lord, you don't forget. You don't forget." And he's so faithful. And Bridget is his faithfulness.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. I'm literally taking notes because I just love that. Like, you never know what God will do with your yes in another season. And that's so incredible. So have you been raised and I mean, obviously your mom was this like crazy on fire for the Lord woman, which is awesome. How did your life play out, you know, seeing the hand of God in your life in such a young age? But I know we all go through different seasons. And what did that look like for you?
Yes, sure. So My mom loved God, and our house life was really ministry. My mom served heavily. She was serving in our local church. And so life was really school. We had prayer meetings at home, church. So that was life. That was all I knew.
Yeah.
And I really had my own encounters with Christ very early on. You know, Jesus was a friend to me. And I mean, my mom's collected all my little letters to him and my cards to him. And so he really revealed himself to me at a young age because I was in an atmosphere of just worship all the time. I'd watch my mom on her knees praying and just seeking the face of God. And so with that just being my model and the blueprint I knew, God revealed himself to me very young. I gave my life to Christ when I was 6 and would have visitations and dreams from a very young age. And that was my foundation. And, you know, when the word says train a child in the way that they should go and it will never depart from them, I really feel like that is my life story, and that there was a season that I departed based on just some of the hardships that I faced in the UK, being born and raised to an African mother, but being in a different culture and just feeling like I was experiencing so many different realities that maybe she didn't have language for, couldn't really help me understand.
Yeah.
And so there was just a journey that I journeyed through alone, and unfortunately just found myself in different groups and different influences, and just went through my own challenges, definitely experiencing difficult relationships. I grew up in an African church, I would say, in the UK. I would say heavily traditional in that way. And so there was my own challenges that I had to go through, and a lot of rejection and feeling like I didn't quite fit in. And so there was a lot of just, I guess, internal battles that I couldn't really articulate, and a lot of questions for God that I had, but didn't have room to be able to express them. So yeah, I went through some mental health challenges of my own. Yeah, I'd say I just kind of went through this stage where I wasn't really invested in church community as much and doing my own thing. And at this point, I was probably just finishing graduation. I did nursing school and went through that, graduated and was working. And then I went through a season where I was just burnt out, really burnt out. And I was signed off as clinically depressed. Give me my throat.
There's water. If you want water,
let me have some water.
You're fine. No, you're good. It's
So I think everything that was just suppressed and kept down, at some point God was like, yeah, this needs to come to the surface and we need to deal with it. And so there was just one worship service that I felt God lead me to, and this is after months of not going to church, and I was instantly healed of just months of low mood, losing weight, I mean, really depressed.
Yeah.
And I left that service a completely different person. Wow. And that was in March of 2016. And then in September of 2016, I find myself competing for Miss Uganda UK. And even that was just like a divine setup, because they picked all their girls, gone through auditions, and one girl dropped out. So they were short that year of their finalists.
No way.
Wow. Yeah. And they happened to be at a Uganda networking event that I happened to be at, and were introducing the girls. And one of the pageant managers were like, we are short this year. And I don't know. I think she just saw my aesthetic and thought, oh, maybe she could do it. And it was not on my radar. I mean, I'm just picking my life back up again. But God had other plans, clearly, and knew he wanted really to use me to share this story that of overcoming. And so I was like, you know what, let me give me a day to think about this and pray on it. And I just really felt God's hand on it. And so here I was a couple of months later competing for Miss Uganda UK.
So crazy.
And winning.
So you go from Miss Uganda. What's that transition like from that to what God is using you now?
I really feel like it was the foundation. I think that was the beginning. I think God used that platform really just to show me who I am in him and to show me the authority that he's given me. And that beauty was really his for his glory, you know, really a conduit to put me in these spaces, but more importantly, to give me the opportunity to share my story, you know, because it's very easy to see. You know, we glorify beauty in the world, and sometimes it can be quite superficial. And I really felt God was like, no, I want to use this so that you can show people that, this can be redeemed for his glory.
And what I love, you know, so there you were being crowned Miss Uganda.
Yeah.
And, you know, everyone runs with a purpose or a mission. It's a little grainy, but this is you, right?
It is me.
Yeah. This is from the moment. That's incredible. But what you ran on is you were raising awareness for children who had been victims in one way or another within the community. Yes,
absolutely. So part of the pageant platform, they allow you to basically bring awareness to issues within Uganda.
Wow.
And because it's Miss Uganda UK, the opportunities for children of the diaspora to come back to Uganda and give back to their community. That's and a lot awesome. Of us haven't had these opportunities. So it was really a first time for me. And one of the causes I was raising awareness was on child sacrifice, which is quite a big issue in Uganda. Mm-hmm. But our angle just really crazy. Was to empower the children. So I did a school initiative and went to, I think, over 9 different schools within Uganda, just to raise awareness on the different tactics that a lot of these people are using to entice children and capture them and, you know, just lead them down a path of a really sad fate. So I had the opportunity to go into schools, but beyond raise awareness, just to empower them and speak to them. And, coming in as Miss Uganda was such a big deal for them. So it was an opportunity to really just show the love of God and bring hope.
And I mean, it's so fitting because you're a brewer. You are. Yes, you're one of their kids.
Definitely. Yeah.
So it's like, of course you're a rescuer. Of course, this is what the Lord's going to give you
so
to do.
And what's so neat is the very first school that we built was in Kinkole. And at the top of the mountain, our school is at the bottom, but at the top, before we even started, that's where they did most of the child sacrifices. I never heard of child sacrifice.
Like where your house is?
No, not where my house is, where we built our first school in Kinkole.
Oh my goodness.
And so they do child sacrifice up there. And it's witch doctors and they just think there's powers. It's all very tribal, what goes on. But that was the very first place. And I didn't know, I wasn't aware of child sacrifice. Wasn't on my radar, kind of like sex trafficking wasn't on Troy's radar until we were in Costa Rica and they tried to sell them girls. You just don't think of these. We're not presented with these things.
Yeah.
And when you are, you're just like, whoa, wait a second. I have to make a difference. And so that was a big deal. And then on top of that is if you're an albino, it's even more likely that you're going to be sacrificed. And so we actually have an albino boy that grew up in that village, and that's a whole nother story.
Wow.
But knowing that she ran on that, and because of course I've kept in contact, loose contact all those years, saw that she was Miss Uganda, would reach out every once in a while and just say hi to her because she was in the UK. Mm-hmm. And I spend most of my time in Uganda, but we would talk back and forth. And then I was doing a trip in Uganda, one of my many trips. Mm-hmm. And I was going to my favorite place, Cafe Java. And she texted me and she said, Mama Leanna, are you in Uganda? And I said, yes. And she goes, I am too. And I was like, what?
Wow.
And so we met up. It was funny because I was with a couple of my boys there. And I said, listen, I told her where I was going to be at. And I told the boys, I said, I really need to go to the restroom. I said, but I'm waiting for Bridget to come. And they were like, how are we going to know who she is? And I said, because she's the most beautiful girl you're ever going to see. And they just looked at me and they're like, Yeah. And when I came back, they saw her and they were like, you were right. We couldn't talk to her. They let her walk by. And I was like, why did you? They were like, we couldn't talk
to her. We can't talk to her.
I was like, oh my gosh, you boys. But yeah. And so from then on, we got connected again. And then she wound up moving back to Uganda. And you can't make this up.
No,
you can't orchestrate it. You can't make it up. And she now actually works for Spark. She is obviously a mouthpiece and a voice for us, for the children. And what she didn't tell you is she did get her nursing degree, but she's also got a degree in psychology, child psychology for trauma victims.
Oh,
and so she's able to go into the little girl, Jeanette, that you saw.
Yeah.
She's deaf, but her story is full of trauma. She has had a horrific life. And when we first got her, she obviously is nonverbal, but she didn't even know sign language. She couldn't communicate at all. She was scared to death. She was very withdrawn. Mm-hmm. Dorothy could get closer, but Dorothy was the only one that could even come close to her. She never, she just would hide and she would cry, and that's all she would do. And Dorothy had breakthrough with her in such an incredible and a beautiful way. And so for you to be able to see her with Bridget and smiling. And happy is just amazing. But Bridget also has the education to go in and help to heal those things, and also not just with the kids, but with the parents and with the families. And so what she was talking about with Miss Uganda of giving them the opportunity to go back to their communities and bring back, you know, something is really big. And we were talking about that on the way over here. What the Lord is doing in Uganda right now is just, it's kind of like Indonesia. It's mind-boggling because all of these Ugandan kids that grew up in the UK are now in their 30s and they're moving back to Uganda.
Wow.
And they're giving back to the community.
That's
and
awesome.
We're seeing breakthrough that we have prayed for so many years. And so why don't you tell them a little bit about what we're doing and what you're seeing as far as our kids are going and the breakthrough that's happening and the difference that people make by helping us.
Absolutely. I mean, someone who like me, who's been born and raised in the UK, there's so many things we take for granted to be able to have an education, you know, to be able to come from a solid family. And so to be able to go to these children and hear the testimonies from themselves of the transformation they're experiencing. Some of them have had to drop out of school to be able to support their families. You'd be surprised how many young people are having to work menial jobs to be able to make ends meet for their families. And so to be able to go back and see that they're back in school, their families are being supported, they're not carrying the burden of their family at a very young age and can actually dream again, you know, dream to become doctors, dream to become lawyers. For some of them, their vision could only go as far as farming, you know, which is awesome. You know, agriculture is an amazing means of wealth in Africa. But just to know that their dreams can expand. And also for some of the young girls who unfortunately were put in situations where their family made them sell their bodies to make money and now have their babies looked after and can go back and receive their education and actually be children. You know, we take that for granted to just be able to have a childhood. It's really powerful, the work that we're doing, and it really is the heart of God. And I'm just so honored to be able to just be on the front line to hear these testimonies and come at a point in the journey where I'm actually seeing the transformation and hearing it from them directly. And know that this is just the beginning for them.
Amen. And I mean, when you watch that video of Jeanette that we saw just a few moments ago, and you see the life in her eyes, her beautiful blue eyes, that is like, I would never have known. It actually shocked me when you said she had a traumatic, had traumatic things happen to you, because you do not read that on her face. And that's the Lord. That's
redemption.
Transformation that only the Lord can do. Mm-hmm.
And we're seeing it every day with our kids all around the world, not just in Uganda, but everywhere.
Yeah.
And so really and truly, when you sow into this ministry, that's what you're sowing into. Mm-hmm. And we do all partner together, you know, TBM and Spark are partnering together in the refugee camp that we have that has so many of these kids in it, and so many of these young ladies and so many of these young men, because it's not just girls, it's boys too. You know, and digging water wells keeps them from being trafficked, because it's at the water wells that a lot of these kids are abducted and sacrificed or other things have happened to them, because the kids are the ones that have to go retrieve the water, and it's miles away. And we're not talking, you know, 14, 15-year-old kids. We're talking little bitty guys, and how they carry this water, I do not know, because it is so heavy. But it's your 4- and 5-year-old kids that are going to these wells, or not even just to the wells, but to the rivers and the lakes that have this nasty green water. So we strategically put because there are wells out there that have been dug, which are great. But if you're not strategically putting them in a place that's safe for kids to go, it's not a help. So we're very strategic on where we're putting these wells, that the kids are safe and that the women that go there are safe.
So you're not just digging wells for a community, you're digging them as a prevention. So these little guys aren't walking, you know, and can be snatched
or what our ultimate goal is, and we've done it quite a few times, but you know, to dig one well in Uganda is $10,000, which is astronomical, but it changes thousands of people's lives. I mean, it's life. It really is. It's life and death. But if we can get into a community and be able to plumb the water into houses, that's the biggest goal. And those wells, you know, are $100,000 for us. But we've done a couple of them already there. Mm-hmm. And millions of people have been affected by that. But not just doing that, in this refugee camp that we're doing together, as we partner together, we're building homes for these people that have just been displaced and that have been just so tragically abused just because they have no other choices.
Yeah.
And so we're seeing that in because of the skills that Bridget has, she's able to go in and bring redemption and healing. And Jeanette, you see her healed. It's amazing. I can't even tell you her story because it's just terrible and nobody needs to know it, but it was terrible. It was, yeah. It was a very, very, it's hard to know the stories. Mm-hmm. It's hard to know. But what's beautiful to know is the redemption side of it.
That's what gives it hope. Yeah. And I think that's why it's so important to have you there. It's such a God thing that you have 100%. Been reconnected.
Yeah.
Because it's so important to have someone there telling the stories. You know, we're able to be here and do what we can, you know, with the stories that we hear from Troy, from Mexico, because it's closer here. But
yes,
taking a whole team over to Africa to tell these stories is not an easy thing. And to have you there, being like our boots on the ground and being able to go and see these kids and share these stories, because I really believe, I mean, we're only able to tell a small fraction of the stories of the lives that we impact. But I really believe that the more people hear these stories, the more they will be moved to sow into what God is doing, because we're really doing it. You know, we're not just talking about doing it. We're not just sending money to another organization doing it. We're partnering. We are the ones that are the hands and feet of Jesus there with your homes. And how many babies do we have in your
97?
Like, are you kidding me?
Yes. And Bridget was there this last time I was there. She got to come meet all my babies. Precious. They're amazing.
I would have a very difficult time leaving.
Yeah. Oh, it is. It's a challenge. But, yes, which is why we're actually leaving on Saturday. We're taking a team of 15 people and going back.
Yeah, which, by the way, is the day that the women's conference ends.
Yes.
Okay, Pastor, you and Pastor Troy, like, literally, it's you never stop. So you're going to Africa Saturday.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, we'll finish the women's conference
first. Of course, yes.
And then we'll go. Taking a midnight flight out. So.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. That is insane.
I love what Troy says. It's a terrible privilege. Mm-hmm. It just really is a privilege to be able to know that you can make a difference. And we made a difference when we didn't have it. Bridget knows we had nothing. Bridget came to our house day before yesterday. My days get mixed up. But when she first drove up, she was like, whoa, this is way different than how you guys lived for forever.
Well, I love that. So, I love that you can speak to that, you've seen that.
And so, that's what Troy said. He goes, I wish I was there, but he's at the men's dove hunt. And, said, I wish I could have seen her face because she knew for 30 years what we did and what we lived like and how we had nothing. And so the excuse of I don't have anything is not an excuse.
Yeah.
It's just not. We literally had nothing and we still did it. Mm-hmm. And you say, well, how can you do that? Well, you say yes. And you, whatever little bit you have, and maybe your yes is just going and encouraging, whatever your yes is, you know, whatever the Lord's asking you to do, he's giving you the provision for it.
Wow. That's
you
just, amazing.
You know, whenever Elijah went to the widow and said, I need you to make me a cake. And she was like, well, all I have is this little bit of flour and oil. And it's the last cake me and my son are going to eat before we die. Yeah. Okay. Well, make me a cake.
Yeah. Wow.
And she said, yes. And because that's all she had. It's not like, well, this is the extra I have, or, you know, I can't pay my water bill, but I'll go ahead and pay your, you know, it doesn't make sense. It's not supposed to make sense when the Lord speaks to you because it's not about you. And because she said yes, she never ran out.
Yeah.
She never ran out.
Mm. Or like calling a bunch of people in a phone book.
Exactly. Mm. Yeah. Oh, like, I'm tense. We've never been so busy in our home. I was like, Troy.
But you said yes and you were there.
We were there. And then and it was all Ugandan churches, which was hysterical.
Yeah. That's
like
amazing.
We called every church in England. We went to every denomination and only the Ugandan churches called us back.
Wow. Hey, well, the Lord directs your steps.
He did. And so, and we still have all those relationships with those people.
That's amazing.
And that's,
I love what you said, Pastor Leanna, just that everyone has a yes to give. Mm-hmm. Like God has called every single person, no matter how much money you have in your bank, no matter how much you have, how many earthly possessions you have, God has called you to do something. God has given you a mandate and a purpose on earth. And when you say yes to him, there's no limits to what,
there is no
how
limits.
He can use you, really.
It's not about you. Mm-hmm. And it's not about what you have. It's about your willingness to partner with him. And he's the greatest partner you can partner with because he has all of the collateral. He has everything. The whole world belongs to him. Yeah. It doesn't belong to us. And the whole mandate that we have is to bring his kingdom to this earth as it is in heaven.
Wow.
Amen.
And so it's not like we're having to do something new or on our own strength. He's doing it. He just he just allows us to be a part of it. And it's just what an honor.
Amazing.
What an honor. Honestly, what an honor to be a part of this ministry. Like that's how I feel whenever, you know, we have moments like this where we're really hearing the actual story. So thank you for opening up your hearts to those of us who have not been here.
So
for
now that y'all know Bridget,
you
can come to Uganda and see her in action.
I know. Oh my goodness, yeah, Bridget. Before we go, I want to ask you one more question. We didn't even get to go behind the veil because honestly, I feel like I want everyone to be able to hear what we have talked about today, to hear these stories. And it's just been so special having you here. But of all the stories that you have heard, since you've been on board with Spark and since you've been connected with us, is there one that just sticks out to you more than the others?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've recently become a mother. He's about to be two. And I definitely think two of the girls' stories, Annette and my goodness, there's so many names. I don't want to mix the two, but there's two particular girls who unfortunately faced really difficult circumstances within their family and were... Their bodies were sold, really. And one girl in particular had to go through three abortions.
Oh, my goodness.
And she decided when she was pregnant the fourth time that she was not going to abort her baby and had her baby and unfortunately still faced a lot of abuse under the care she was in and ran away with her baby.
Wow.
I believe she was 13 years old.
She was 13?
She was 13.
And had three abortions and almost a fourth.
Almost a fourth.
Poor pregnancy.
And decided she wasn't going to do that and ran away from home with her baby at 3 months old. Yep.
And how brave. Just, wow.
And was living in a rural part of Uganda and just took a bus into the city and was, you know, you can imagine all day on that journey, baby starving. And she just got whatever she could, I think was found giving her baby yogurt, a 3-month-old yogurt, which obviously the baby can't digest. And this baby's crying out of hunger. And One of our lovely ladies, Dorothy, found her in front of her church. But just the sheer courage that this young girl would have had to first decide that I don't want to abort my fourth baby. And
at 13, to have that courage, man, God has something for her.
Yes. And then to decide to leave her situation, not knowing where she was running to. But
I can't do this.
I'm imagining just the radical courage that would have taken for her. But we thank God that she is now in school. And her baby's being taken care of. But I was just really moved by just the journey that she had gone through to get to where she is now. And so, I couldn't imagine being in that circumstance. Mm-hmm. But I'm so thankful to God that her baby's being taken care of and she too is able to receive an education. And so, her story really moved me.
That's incredible. I mean, you just think of a story like that, the courage it took for her to step out and change her circumstance at 13 years old. I mean... I just think of what I was thinking about at 13 years old. Yes. What a 13-year-old, you know, should be thinking about is not, should I have a fourth abortion?
Yes.
Should I run away with my baby to give us a better life at 13?
Absolutely.
And so the courage that took, the bravery that took, and the plan that God must have for her life is wild.
Absolutely.
Like, I cannot wait. I can't wait till, 10 years from now and she's sharing her story.
Yes.
Because that's truly miraculous.
I had to think about it too.
Yeah.
I remember the first time we met Abigail, we were at, a hanky place. We were at a hotel way out in the village, and Dorothy had found her walking down the street, and she saw this young mom, because Dorothy just has an eye for girls. She's just, Dorothy is a rock star. And she saw this young girl holding a baby and trying to feed it yogurt. Mm-hmm. And so she stopped, and she said, what are you doing? And she said, the baby's starving and I don't have any milk. I'm not producing enough milk. Mm. And she said, and the baby was brand new. And she said, can I help you? And so that's how we got her.
Wow.
And so she brought her to the hotel we were staying at, which was, but again, Annette, I mean, Abigail would not, she wouldn't even look up. She just would look at the ground and she was disconnected from the baby because there was just so much trauma going on. And, It was sad, but now she is a mama.
Wow.
And I know the baby girl, she's adorable.
She's
a cute little girl. And she's able, Annette and Abigail and Annette are both able to go to school and leave their babies. We have a caregiver that takes care of them, and then they're able to come back home to their babies. So they're being trained, and these mamas are only 14, 15 years old.
Wow.
And as she said, this is not their first babies. This is, they've had to have abortions because they were being sold to take care of family bills. And it's a reality for so many people. Mm-hmm. And
I don't know, I'm thinking about it. Like, I've raised three girls. Yeah. I'm still raising three girls. although they tell you they raised me.
Right.
But I'm trying to think of, like, when they were that age, you know, like, and when Jordan was born, like, we'd leave for a few hours.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you got fussy, hey, mom and dad are coming back.
Yeah.
She is mom. Mm-hmm. There's nobody coming back.
Mm-mm. Yeah.
But Jesus still saw her and used Dorothy to bring her to us. I love that.
It's incredible. The difference that we get to make, you know, is just, it's life changing because you don't know who it is that you're saving, who it is that might be the next person that changes everything for everyone else. And just like Bridget's story, there's this whole generation that's her age. Some of them are about 10 years younger than her, the kids that we first rescued, and not quite 10 years younger, but they're younger, and they're gathering all of these children too and bringing them and taking care of them because that's what happened to them.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, hey, we know how to do this because it was demonstrated to us.
Wow.
And so, yeah.
Gosh.
It's a terrible privilege, isn't it?
It is. Yeah.
Well, we're so happy. We're so happy that you've been able to join us today, and you're going to be with us tonight, right?
I am going to be with
Pastor Leanna.
She is with us. Yes.
I can't wait. I'm so excited. We're going to hear more about Dr. Leanna. Which one are you supposed to say? Dr. Pastor Leanna Brewer? I don't know. I know you would say, oh, it doesn't matter, but that's a big deal that you are a doctor as well as a pastor and a Jaja and all the things.
Jaja is my favorite.
You wear many titles.
What's Jaja?
Jaja is grandma in
Uganda.
Jaja.
I was telling her today how I came up with that name. It was just, it's a beautiful
story. Oh, we got to hear that story. You can't, that's or tease it for tonight. Is that a tease?
It doesn't matter. I can tell you, or I can
tell you. Yeah, how did you come up with it?
So I was Bridget's age, actually, and I was in Uganda, and I was telling her I didn't understand all of the lingo yet, and now I'm seasoned, and so I know most of what they're saying. But I was with Pastor David, which was her neighbor growing up in the UK, and he's the one that got us started in all of the work that we do. I was with him, and we were preaching in a church in Kampala, the capital. We had been in the village the whole time, but we came to the capital, and Troy was preaching in what we call big church, and I was in children's church, which is my favorite place. And I had all of these kids, and this one, I was asking, do you have a testimony? Because these kids love Jesus, and they love to tell testimonies. And this one little girl, about 7, 8 years old, she said, I have a testimony. And I said, well, what is it? And she said, I fell down in the latrine pit and an angel saved me. And
oh my goodness.
I just want to cry when I think about it because I know what a latrine pit is. Anyways, so the kids were all laughing and making fun of her. And I was like, hey, that's a big deal. Don't make fun of her. And so things had happened. And I walked off and she said, Mzungu means white people. You hear Mzungu everywhere you go. I don't hear it anymore. It really makes me sad. But usually the call out from children is, Mzungu, Mzungu. You know, they want you to turn and look at him. And so this little girl called me and she said, Jaja Mzungu. And I thought, I don't know, Jaja. I don't know what that means. And I'm thinking, is she calling something bad? Because all the kids were laughing, like really laughing at her. And I was like, who is this kid calling me? And so Pastor David came over. And again, I was only in my early 30s. And Pastor David came over. I said, hey, what does Jaja mean? And he just, why? And I thought, ooh, I just said a bad word.
Uh-oh. And I don't, like, sorry,
I don't say bad words. I'm so sorry. And he goes, why? And I said, well, because the little girl called me. He goes, you're not a Jaja. And I was like, okay. I was like, whoo, I said a bad word again. I said, what does that mean? He goes, well, it means old white lady. And I started laughing.
Funny, really?
Hard. I started laughing so hard.
I love that.
I was like, that is the greatest name I have ever heard.
Fantastic.
I said, I own it. I'm going to own that. And he said, no. He goes, you would call it a grandma. And I said, she's calling me her grandma. I said, oh, how sweet. And he was like, why do you like that? I said, because she named me. And I was like, no, I love that. And so when we went out to the village that I did all my work at, he was telling the story and he was laughing of how she likes being. And so all the kids started calling me Jaja there. And so now that, I mean, that's what everybody in Uganda calls me is Jaja. I mean, even Pastor David calls me that. And so when I had Barrett, my first grandson, I was like, I really hope he calls me Jaja. And his mom was sitting at the table with us today, and she was telling Bridget, she said, that was his very first word. And it was his very first word.
Really?
Yes, Jaja? It was. I was leaving to go to Africa, and I was telling him, you know, bye, I love you, Jaja, you know, I love you, and I'll be gone. And I've been telling him, you know, Jaja's leaving, and he just said, Jaja, Jaja. And I was like, oh
my goodness.
Since then, all eight of them call me Jaja. So that's where it came from.
That's awesome.
That came from an incredible testimony of a brave little girl.
What that meant. Yeah. So that's hilarious.
I am the grandma, but they lost the Mzungu part, but that's okay. I'm just Jaja.
I love it. You're reclaiming Jaja, just like you're reclaiming the rainbow.
Yes.
Just like we're reclaiming the rainbow with your new book. And that's a perfect time to remind you all that come out to Open Door Church tonight, because not only is Pastor Leanna speaking and sharing, and Bridget will be here in the house, but also we are celebrating the release of Pastor Leanna's brand new book, Life Under the Rainbow. Yes. Not only will you be able to purchase it tonight, but you can get it signed if you show up early before the service. And man, understanding God's covenant promises, Life Under the Rainbow. And what a way to kick off the women's conference that's also happening this week. So it's going to be an incredible week, next few days here at Open Door Church. So if there is any way that you can get here, please, I just encourage you, come taste and see what the Lord has for you. And if not, listen, join us as an ODX Stage 3 member, and you will have access, because the conference will be live streamed, but only to those who have signed up online at our Brushfire link, which is on our website, or have joined us as an ODX.TV Stage 3 partner. That's one of the perks you get when you join us at ODX. You get access to all of our conferences, all of the fun events that we have going on through here. Anything that we're able to live stream, we will for you. So just, you know, shameless little plug there. Perfect time to mention, join us at ODX.TV. And I just want to say thank you again, Bridget. Yeah, thank you, Pastor Leanna. I know you've got a lot going on this week, but thank you for joining us for the Pulse today.
Thank you.
It's been so fun.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Of course. You're welcome anytime. Awesome. And next time you can bring your son, I will hold him the whole time we are up here.
You may not get him back.
He won't be sitting. Yeah,
you might not get him back, but we have candy. We have treats. I can bribe him. We can do all the things.
Thank you.
Well, thank you all so much for watching, for joining us. And next week, we're going to be back with more episodes of The Pulse. Also, don't forget, Pastor Troy has launched his brand new podcast, Altered State, on Mondays. And if you haven't caught the first two episodes, you guys, you need to do it. Just trust me. It's a fresh download from the Lord that God has given Pastor Troy on spiritual warfare and understanding the realms and what spiritual warfare really means, really looks like, and how we can be equipped to battle it better. So who doesn't need to know how to do that? I mean, I think we all do. So thanks again for joining us. Until next time, let's go to the wide shot. We call you the head, not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. We'll see you later.